Take your Bible now to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 4 through 7 this evening. I'll begin in verse number 4. You'll join me on verse 5. We'll read that all the way through verse number 7. Philippians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 4. Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." All right, and let's pray. That's verse number 7. Sorry. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, thank you for the truth of this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, there's so many people out there, Lord, that they don't have a correct view of Christianity. And tonight, Lord, the truth that we hear, Lord, maybe we take it, Lord, not just hear it, but Lord, hide it in our heart, Lord, and apply it in our lives tomorrow. We can be a good testimony for you, be a good witness for you, Lord, and make a difference in this world. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Amen.
Keep your Bibles open. We'll use them tonight just a little bit here. Let me start by saying something that might seem a bit redundant, but the purpose is there. God is very good about telling us what he wants us to do. Let me say that again. God is very good at being able to tell us what he wants us to do. He wrote it all down and put it in a book. It's called the Bible. Amen. Say, what does God want me to do, preacher? There it is. Because all we have to do is read it, study it, and apply it. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say I shouldn't drink whiskey. It says, no, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible is a living book. Amen. It is a breathing book. That's what the word inspired means. It's God breathed, but it's still living. God breathed into man the breath of life. God didn't have to keep breathing into him for man to be alive. He breathed into him once, and it gave him life that kept him breathing. God inspired the word, therefore it's still inspired. Now, let me show you what I mean. That means this. The word of God is the same today as it was in the day of Moses. Right. It's just as applicable. Well, that's Old Testament, preacher. It's all scripture. You know that every bit of scripture that Jesus quoted while he was on earth is in the Old Testament? Now, I say that to say this. God saw the changes through the ages. He gave us a book that was applicable for all ages. That's why it's still living. Did you know God didn't have to warn Moses about Facebook? But the same principles apply that applied to Moses. You can find the principles for Facebook, what to do, what not to do, based out of what God gave Moses. You just have to apply it to the situations of today. Truth permeates the ages. 2 + 2 was still 4 in the day of Adam. It's still 4 today. I don't care what the new math says. Now, God does not need to tell us more than one time to do something, though. Sometimes we get this idea, God has to tell us something over and over and over and over and over in the scripture before we do something. You're getting into some Calvinism at that point in time. Well, you have to have a text and a pretext, and you have to have post-text. You have to have it mentioned here and there before it's really a doctrine in the Bible. No, God said it, that settles it, period. Amen. You don't have to have, you know, when Dad said take the trash out, he didn't have to tell me 6 times before I did it. Because on the second one, you had a stick up the backside or a foot up the backside helping you get it done. Say, why? Because he told you once, that's all he had to tell you. Well, God knows what he's doing, and God doesn't have to say it over and over and over and over before it's important for us to do. Now, there's a truth that is one that causes us to be where we are tonight with that statement. God only makes this statement one time in Scripture. One time. And yet, it is a command just as thou shalt not kill is a command. Just as thou shalt not steal. Just as thou shalt not commit adultery. This is just as much a command as that is. It is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men. You see, God tells us to make our moderation known unto all men. Now watch this. That sounds like an odd statement to us. Most of us don't understand what the word moderation means. You mean God says not to let our extremes be made known? God never tells us to make our extremes to be made known. He said, let your moderation be made known. He didn't say make your right-wing conservative in your face ways known. He said, let your moderation be made known. He didn't say let your modernism and your contemporaryism made known. He said, let your moderation be made known. Does God want me then to be a wishy-washy, wiggle when I walk Christian? No, not at all. God says, though, let your moderation be made known. Let me share some thoughts with you. I've got about three things here, three or four things. And then we'll go to the house. I'm hungry. No. Number one, moderation is not mediocrity. Moderation is not mediocrity. The word mediocre means halfway. It means not giving your all. It means not either direction. It's just kind of the middle of the road. God would use the term lukewarm. By the way, God said that lukewarm makes him vomit. Right. God does not want lukewarm Christians. So letting your moderation be made known is not letting your mediocrity made known. The word moderation means appropriate. It means suitable for the situation. It means reasonable. It means gentleness. It means patience. It means merciful. In other words, and those are some strong words, the word patient means that you stay consistent while the pressure is on you. It means you don't get all wound up in a catastrophe and come unscrewed. The word patient means when you're under pressure, nobody else knows. Everybody doing okay? The word patient doesn't mean the absence of pressure. It means being calm under pressure. I call it the duck philosophy. Did you ever see a duck swim? It's real calm and smooth on top, but if you ever saw the underside of that duck, man, it's for everything it's worth. Being a good leader means you hide your panic. Nobody sees you panic. You'll never know when I'm panicked. You'll never know when I'm under pressure. Say why? Because it's my job to keep it from you and to take that pressure and be patient with you. Did you know being patient with somebody means when they don't get it like you get it, that you don't blow up on them? Right. Everybody doing okay? God does not say that he wants us to make our mediocrity made known. He doesn't want us to make known the middle of the road. Matter of fact, God does not want our rock rib far right made known totally. He wants us to be patient as we live rock ribbed far to the right until those that aren't rock ribbed far to the right catch up. Amen. That's what moderation is. If liberalism is over, let's see, that's right to you, that's left. If liberalism is over there where Brother Josh is at, that's a good place for it. I'm over here. I'm about as far as you can get. Matter of fact, I'm on the outside of the building. All right? I'll stay as far away from that, for more than one reason, as I can. But wait a minute. But we have new people in our church.
That's right.
I'll preach moderation in an effort to get up out of your seats. Liberals are dumb. In an effort to bring him this way step by step. He may never get to where I am. Take another step, Brother Josh, this way. But eventually I'll bring him to where I preach to. He may never make it here, but that's okay. If he gets to where moderation is, we're in good shape.
Yes, sir.
That's what preaching moderation is all about. Thank you. See, some of you, if they got saved this week, got baptized next week, you don't understand by the following week why they're not out soul winning, have conference down the aisle, have all their standards straight, have everything cleaned out of their house and telling the booger man where to go back to. And you don't understand why they're not. Why don't you let your moderation be made? No, not your impatience. You see, some take a long time to grow. I have a whole sermon on this I've been working on. One of these days you'll hear it. Did you know a fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit is still a fruit tree? Did you know an apple tree that doesn't have any apples this year is still an apple tree? It doesn't become a grape vine? So, well, I'm a fruit inspector. No, you don't even know how to inspect fruit. You have no right to judge a Christian based on that fruit because you can't see the fruit of a Christian. Fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You're trying to judge somebody's works. How about you just keep your own nose clear and see whatever, let God take care of the rest. See, for some of us, if we're not careful, we'll let that hard right wing stand keep everybody that's growing away from us. God does not want us changing what we believe or redefining truth to get them. I didn't say you change what you are, but you don't have to dump the whole truck on them the first week. Did you know when the doctor gives you a prescription, you don't take the whole bottle full at the first day? You don't say, okay, I got it. Okay, I got all my medicine. No, they give you a prescription based off of you're supposed to take it for 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 to 14 days or whatever. You're supposed to take a little at a time. That way your body builds it up and it can fight whatever it's supposed to fight. That's the way truth is. People have to have time to grow. You don't give a newborn baby steak. You might get it down their throat, but they're going to choke on it. You're going to have to chew it for them because they don't even have any teeth to chew it with. Can I tell you something? Newborn babes need milk, so do newborn Christians. But do you know what milk is? It's steak that's been repurposed so that it can be tolerated in another form. That's all it is. Milk is the food that the mother ate, repurposed for the nutrition of the child. My job is to take the meat of the word, turn it into milk, turn it into bread, and leave it as meat for some, and feed it to everybody at the same time. Some of you, it's meat or nothing. Notice God used the word meat, not vegetation. God didn't save the plants on the ark. He did save the meat. Amen? Rise, kill, and eat. That season comes next Monday. Now, God doesn't want us changing what we believe to reach this crowd. Let me show you what I mean. We don't have to change the music in our church to reach the generation of today. We're not supposed to change the style of our music to reach the generation of today. I probably shouldn't have done it, but I did it. one of the leading churches 30 years, 40 years ago. Church back in my hometown was one of the top three churches in America. Ran 10,000 people. I went on their website early this morning. Last Sunday, they had a rock band there. Guys shucking and jiving and dancing around on the platform. They've got their praise and worship team. Bunch of women dressed like a bunch of harlots jumping around on the platform. If Brother Henniger were alive today, he'd shut the whole mess down. The whole thing. By the way, a church used to run 10,000. Church that, you've heard of the Jolly 60s program for senior citizens? That's where it started. Church that used to run buses all over the place. Church that believed in soul winning, now they wouldn't want to walk across the street to see anybody get saved. Say, what happened? They changed the message, they changed the method, they watered it all down to reach everybody. Now they have nobody, and we have as many people in church tonight as a church that had 10,000 at one time. God says, let your moderation be made known unto all men. That means this, as people get saved, we'll be patient with them. As Christians get back in fellowship with the Lord, we'll be patient with them. If somebody gets out of line, we're not going to stomp them and kick them. We're going to love them back. If somebody makes a mistake, we're going to be there and reach down and pick them up, not say, well, you should have known better. Well, guess what, sweetie? You're going to be the next one down. And you're going to wish to God somebody's there to reach down and pick you up, not step on you while you're down. Too many people get ahead of God. They rip people apart for not being like them and don't realize how long it took them to get to where they are. You expect somebody that's been saved 6 months to know what you've known after 20 years. Guess what? It doesn't happen that way. There are people in this room, I don't mean this the wrong way. You may be older than I, but I know more Bible than you do because I've been saved a lot longer than you have, and I've been studying it a lot longer than you have, and I need to be patient with you. Just because you're older than me doesn't mean you know more about this than I do. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but it's a fact. If you know what I really, really, really believed, you'd be shocked. I haven't told you everything I believe. Say why? Because that's so far right. I'll preach the moderation. I may live farther to the right, but I'll preach moderation. Now, as you grow, I'll feed you more of what's over here, and I'll bring us over and bring us over and bring us over. Eventually, you'll know more things. Everybody doing okay? I haven't changed the message. Okay. Now watch this statement. God doesn't force anyone to live the way he wants them to. Why do you want to force everybody to live the way you want them to? You're going to have to be careful as your children grow up and become adults. They're adults. They don't have to listen to you. You could drive them away by forcing them to be what you want them to be. You're not God. Quit forcing them. As people come into our church and we love on them, you can't force them to be anything. I've had people come into this church. I've loved on them. I've helped them. We've seen God change their life. They come to me and say, preacher, we're leaving the church. We're going somewhere else. I've tried to hold on to them. I've begged them. I've pleaded them. They'll go to a liberal church, and now they're back into what they came out of. Say, didn't you try to stop them? I'm not going to force them. I don't have handcuffs that we hand out and lock everybody in. There are days I wish I could. So, number one, moderation is not mediocrity. It's not half in, half out. Number two, God wants our appropriateness known, not our half-heartedness known. God wants our appropriateness, not our half-heartedness. Mediocre means giving only half. It means you're not real strong, but you're not real weak. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10 is still in the book. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. In other words, whatever you're doing, you better give it your all. So God is not saying, give me your mediocrity. Not at all. God wants you to give everything at everything that you do. Now listen to this. God wants us to show patience with people as they learn and grow. We're not supposed to beat them to death for not seeing life the way we see life. Did you know I see life differently than you do? Did you know that my way is not the only way? I do know this. Jesus' way is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
That's right.
He's the one that sees life in truth and reality. But nobody sees life totally independently the way God does. We have to view it through the word of God. Now watch this. We're not supposed to change what we believe to come down and be what they are. A few years ago, several years ago. Good night. We were in the old IRS building, so it's been 4 or 5 years ago. Some guy came in, he said, boy, you got a great place here, you know. If you put some drums in there and get some electric guitars and have some rock music, you could have a big jam night here and reach a lot of young people in this area. Mrs. Barnes was there. She was trying to laugh quietly. She was wondering what the preacher would say. I said, not going to happen. Oh, yeah, you got the ruby. I said, not going to happen. He pressed it for the third time. I thought, okay, I'll burn your barley field. I said, it'll be a cold day in hell before I ever bring rock music into the church. I won't use the devil's methods to reach God's people. Conversation ended really quick after that. He couldn't find the door fast enough, and there were three of them. And I think he was trying to get out of all three at the same time. In other words, we're not supposed to come down to the world to be like the world. Matter of fact, God said, come out of the world. That's what the church is. Separate from the world. Now watch this. Let me illustrate it. Joseph showed his moderation by listening to God and not putting Mary away to be put away privately. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. They were engaged. They were espoused. He came home to find out that Mary was pregnant, and he knew he wasn't the daddy. He had a right to put her away and not marry her and her be shamed the rest of her life. But wait a minute. She had not known a man. She was a child by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Joseph chose not to put her away. He made known his moderation. The angel came to Joseph and said, I know this, son, this is going to be hard for you to believe, but it's true. You're the only man in the world that's ever going to face this, but here it is. You know, you think about how hard it was on Mary. Can you imagine how hard that was on Joseph to believe? Now think about that for a minute. He made his moderation known and gave us the virgin birth of Christ. Because if you notice the last verse of Matthew chapter 1, it says that he did not know her till the birth of Christ. By the way, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Guess what? She wasn't a virgin her whole life. Unless there was other babies born that way. I know what the Catholics say. The Catholics will tell you, well, Joseph was an older man and that was from his first marriage. That's literally what they believe. Joseph was a young man. He was not an old man that had grown kids. Everybody doing okay? We are to be appropriate as Christians. We would use the word balanced. Moderation and balance are pretty close to being the same word. God wants us balanced. Now, let me show you what I mean. We should know how to do and plan the pageantry of a lovely wedding And I know how to do that. And bless you. I understand the pageantry that goes with it. And I understand the decorating. And I understand all the formalities and who sits on what side and how many rows need this and which side is what? What side's this and how do we do this? And I've taught more women to walk in formal gowns than I've never worn one nor walked in one in my life and never planned to. I've helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ladies that have never walked in a formal before going up a platform that was 9 feet high, teaching them how to do this. I've learned all that kind of stuff. I understand it. But wait a minute. I ought to be able to play on a ball game too. There's a balance that goes with that. These guys that all they do is plan weddings, something's wrong with them. They need to go out and get dirty and go play football and get their face smashed in a little bit or something. You know, any twink that all he does is play with women's dresses, something's wrong. He starts walking like them and talking like them, it's too late. Take them out and teach them football and use them for the football or the goalpost or something. There needs to be a balance. A guy that understands all the pageantry but throws a ball like that, something's wrong. We need to be comfortable preaching at church or soul winning at the door, but we also ought to be able to laugh and be snotty with satire too. I'm for the formality of preaching. I'm for teaching and helping people. But if a man of God can't get up and preach on hell like I did this morning, something's wrong. If all he does is have a hobby horse here or there that he can touch, and something's wrong. One-dimensional isn't good. And may I say this? Don't trust those guys that they're always smiling. You know, my daddy told me a long time ago, a guy that always is smiling is a guy never to trust, especially if he's selling you something. There's a lot of truth in that. These little penny ante preachers that all they do is smile. God bless you, smile. It's all you ever see is this. Something's wrong, just so you know. They're hiding it. What was that? I thought you said something else that was close to that. It wasn't an oh, it was a So, slow freight, social security jokes, you won't get it till she's 65. It's coming fast. So, moderation is not mediocrity. God wants us appropriate, being known, not our half-heartedness. You know, there is nothing... God's not happy with you just because you came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's a good start. But there's more to being a Christian than just showing up at church. God wants you to let your moderation be known. Time to start getting involved. Number three, and I'll finish up. Grace Baptist Church is going to be a church of moderation. I didn't say I was going to change my right-wing, fundamental, hellfire, damnation, wind-a-rattling preaching at all. Say, why? That's part of moderation. This is going to be a church that stands strong for truth and hard for right, but we're going to be patient with people as they grow into it. Everybody got that? Isn't it amazing? Some idiot can come off the street. You have no idea what kind of whoremonger he's been in his life, what kind of drug addict or drunk he's been, stumble down this aisle, get saved, gets himself cleaned up a little bit, and we say, look what God did. You let one of our young people grow up in church, and they stumble a little bit, not do one-tenth of what that guy did, and we want to kick them and throw them out of church and expose them to everybody. That's wicked as hell. And I will preach against that as long as I have breath in my body. That makes no sense at all to me. None. See, what are you going to do if one of the young people mess up? I'm going to love them and get them back in church, get them healed back up, and get them doing something for God. Just like we did everybody else. Well, they should have known better. How many things have you done wrong that you knew better about? Before you want to listen to everybody else's sin, how about you get up here and trot up here and tell everybody what you've done? Let's let the preacher tell everybody what he knows about you. If I ever lose my mind, you better gag me. Because there's more things in there that should not be said than should be said. Yeah. I always worry when I've had kidney stones and they put me on heavy drugs. I'm thinking, oh God, don't let me say anything I should not say. Please don't let me say anything. Say why? Because I know way too much. You know, I thank God we're a church that's known as being a hospital, not a museum. We're going to have strong standards. We're going to believe in dressing right. We're going to believe in acting right. We're going to believe in doing certain things the right way. But may I say this, that doesn't mean that we're going to kick everybody out that doesn't believe that way. We're not going to be like a church I knew. They're no longer in existence. Go figure. They had such strong standards that when people came to their church, if a woman wasn't dressed right, they brought them to a separate room, made them change clothes, and gave them new clothes to put on for church. Well, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives forever do that. Now, if she ain't covered, we're going to get her something to cover it up. I don't need everybody gawking. But as long as she's not strutting around in her underwear or showing it all off, we'll get it covered, but it may not be the way God wanted, but we'll get her covered, amen? If I got to go buy a tent or something, we'll figure it out. But just because somebody's not dressed right doesn't mean they shouldn't come to church. I do not know. So don't tell me, well, preacher, that's... I have no idea. Don't pay attention to it. But did you know this thing of tattooing's gotten way out of hand? Amen. Did you know the Bible teaches that you're not supposed to have one at all?
That's right.
Period. But I'll guarantee in a crowd this size, there's people that have one. And I'm not asking who, what, or where. Not doing it. Don't want to know, don't want to see it either, just so you know. Can I tell you something? How come we don't have more preachers preaching about that and kicking people out of church over a tattoo? How come it's only the sins that bother them? I've heard these preachers say, well, there are certain sins that need exposed in a church. Show me in the Bible which certain sins those are. My Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone. God puts liars and murderers in the same list. There is no category of sin. Sin is sin. Well, it was a white lie, not a black lie. I don't care if it's green or purple. It's still a lie. You don't lie to protect anybody. You tell them the truth. Well, I didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings, so I told a lie. Then you sinned. Tell them the truth. Well, what if I hurt them? Then you hurt them, but you told them the truth. Everybody doing okay? I don't think you ought to lie to your kids. Boy, that's good stuff. Let your moderation be known. Let your moderation be known. We're not... 1 Thessalonians 5:22 is still in the Bible. The Bible says this. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We're going to be a church that abstains from all appearance of evil. I'm for that. But I'm going to be patient with people that don't. You say, what do you mean? That's moderation. I'm not going to hop in the car with somebody, some woman, that's not my wife or not my daughter. Amen. Say, why? I don't want the appearance of evil. I'm cautious. If you're not old enough to be my mother or young enough to be my daughter, I'm not hugging you. And anymore, not my daughter even, my granddaughter that I don't have. Say, why? Because I'm real careful about that. Now, if y'all want to go around and hug, that's fine, but my name's on the top of the stationery, and I ain't doing it. I don't call teenagers on the phone. I call their parents. I don't have teenagers' phone numbers in my phone. If some of them have called me, and some have, I don't respond. You say, why? Until they're out of high school, I don't keep their number. You say, why is that? That protects you and me. That's called letting your moderation be known. Everybody doing okay? I don't tell Mrs. Barnes because she's done a good job, hey, how about I take you to lunch? No. I might buy her and Brother Barnes a gift card and say, hey, go out and enjoy yourselves. But I'm not taking her to lunch. Say why? We've been in several construction meetings and decorating things. Most of the time my wife is with us, but even if not, we've had meetings in Hagerstown or on this property. We drove separate vehicles. Usually left at much different times. Say why? Because I didn't want any appearance of evil. She would leave long before I would in most of those meetings, or if my wife was with me, she and I would leave together. You say why? I believe in appearances that shouldn't be evil. Everybody doing okay? It's not that I hate every woman in the world. I'm just married to one and have one daughter. I'm not going to treat you ladies like my wife or my daughter. Sorry. I love my daughter-in-law. I'm not sure I've ever driven in a car alone with my daughter-in-law. You say, why? I don't want a bad appearance. Besides, she doesn't like me. No, I'm teasing. She doesn't want to be in the car alone with me. I drive better than he does, that's for sure. Wait. I have the insurance to prove it. I can take you back a few times, too. Especially because they were my vehicles you totaled. I'm teasing. He didn't do it. Somebody else did it for him. But anyway, you say, what is that? Letting your moderation know. I don't counsel another pastor's church people unless I have permission from their pastor. Say, what is that? Letting your moderation known. I don't go visit another Baptist pastor's church people if they visit our church. One of the most awkward questions I have, if I know somebody, I'll say, y'all going to church anywhere regular? Hopefully no. Because if they tell me yes and they tell me it's another local Baptist church, I'll tell them, I won't follow up on you. I have ethics. I'd love to have you come back, and if there's a problem, go see your preacher, but I won't visit you. Say, why, preacher? Let your moderation be known. If they come back more than once, I call their pastor and tell them they've been here. Say, you'd do that? I've done it many a time. You say, why is that, preacher? Because that's called letting your moderation known. Maybe he has a problem that he doesn't know he has and he could fix it. I'd hate for him to lose somebody. I know what it's like losing a church member. But I do tell him my church is available for him if they need it. Be glad to have them, but I'm not going to chase them out of another church to get them here. Everybody doing okay? By the way, I do that for my friends. I do that for pastors that aren't even like me and don't like me. I happen to know they have voicemail, and I leave it at 6 o'clock in the morning when they're not at work. I'll hate sin but love the sinner. That's called letting your moderation be known. I'll fight the alcohol scene of today. I'm not going to quit preaching that booze is wrong. I'm not going to quit preaching morality and right. I still believe ladies ought to dress like ladies, men ought to dress like men. I'm not going to quit preaching it, but I'm not going to exclude anybody from coming to church over it. Now, if you're going to step up and work in Sunday school or work in church or be a part of the ministry here a little bit more, I've got to ask you to step up a little bit because I think it's God's uniform. I think you ought to wear it. I think it's only the right thing to do, but I'm not going to get mad at you if you don't. Everybody doing all right? That's called teaching moderation. Oh, bless God. I think, you go pastor your own church then. You'll find out you won't even like you. I think we ought to love sinners. But guess what? Sinners sin. sinners sin. That doesn't mean you love the sin, but you do love the sinner. We're a hospital, not a museum. That is a statement of moderation. Did you know that when you show up to the hospital sick or hurt or bloody, they don't look at you and say, man, you're too bad off. We're not going to treat you. You go somewhere else. You don't meet the qualifications of being a good enough patient for us. We're not sure you're going to follow everything we tell you to do, so you better go find somebody else. And you're laying there bleeding with your guts hanging out. That's what a lot of churches do. No. You have a hospital that does that, you're going to be rich if you live. They have a responsibility to take you in and to patch you up enough to get you, if they can't help you the rest of the way, to help you get somewhere where they can. Isn't that our job? We're not supposed to judge them based on how they look, how they smell, or how they live. Somebody has a gunshot wound and goes to the hospital, they say, well, you shouldn't have been running with the gangs anyway. We're not going to help you. How is it that Christians can do that? Well, they shot themselves. All right. Either way, they're still shot. They still need help. And probably the one that shot themselves needs more help than the other one, because they know they could have prevented it. Let your moderation be known to all men. That's your patience. That's your appropriateness, your reasonableness, your suitableness. I didn't one time say, watch this. I didn't one time say people are not invited to this church. Come, I hate the liberal churches. Come as you are and stay as you are. No, come as you are, but I think you ought to do your best for God. You've never heard me but one time in 7 years preach a whole sermon on ladies' dress and men's dress. One time in 7 years. Taught it on a Wednesday night about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. But we have a higher percentage of ladies that dress right. Can I tell you why? They're growing. We let our moderation known and they grow. We let our moderation known and they grow. I don't have to do that. If you have questions about it, come see me. See my wife. We'll teach you. I have no problem with that. I'm not ashamed of it. It's just not something I have to do on a regular basis. You say, why? Because we let our moderation known and everything's all right. That's what God said, by the way. Said it once. Totally had to say it. Now let's make our moderation known. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, I'm for your right wing stand. The farther you go to the right, the better off you'll be. I have no problem at all with it, but let's make our moderation known. Not our wildness, our moderation.